Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
All right, let's put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord, reveal to me a dimension of you, a reflection of me within this body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4 of Romans 12. For as we all have many members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function. I want to read. I tried to go old school and just do like the old Bible. It just didn't work. So, I do like my Bible, and sometimes I preach out of that. I share out of it, but it just, I'm all mixed up. So here's what we're going to do today. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. To enter the kingdom of God, you must be like a child." How many got little pieces of puzzle? I want you to come and bring your pieces of your puzzle, and let's put this thing together. Come and find, some of you need help, I'll help you. Okay, there was that. Luke's got his. You like my turtle?
That must be a zero.
Oh, who had the turtle head? Oh, man.
Why?
That's good.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, always. I always. Yeah, I know. I'm the battle axe.
Susie, this is an M. It's not a W.
Oh,
see, when the
scary, man. I was L.
Yeah?
All right. It's a 9, not a 6.
It's a 9. See, we weren't sure.
Don't rush me.
Don't. There we go.
I'm an O.
Yeah, that O can go. There we go.
Wait a minute. Am I doing that right?
No, you're good.
Well, I'm squishing out almost. N and P.
You're not 5. That's why you can't do it.
I used to know the alphabet, y'all.
There we go.
Thank you.
Okay. Isn't life like that sometimes?
Exactly. It's a puzzle piece and I'm feeling bad.
I don't know. Okay.
I'm waiting for someone else to be done.
I think it's because there's chips on it. Yeah, right. See? Wanna pop it in? Y comes out. Why?
Why is
Y? Because it has a hook.
That's a 5. This would be a hard one.
That looks like it's too wide.
Well, just match them up if you can match.
That one's not over far enough.
Ball right there. You got, there we go.
Yeah.
See?
Oh my gosh,
what
level.
There you go.
That's a lesson in itself.
Right? Sometimes we got to rub it. We rub each other the wrong way.
There we go. See, you see this? That some of this isn't fitting. Some, I know, because you
have to move around to make them fit.
You see that?
Here's one. See, I know how to do puzzles. I'm a pretty
sure. Yeah, she played with puzzles all the time.
I know how to do puzzles.
Come on. Here we go. All right, got that in. What are we doing?
G,
okay. There we go.
I got time.
All right, where's Jay? There you are.
I'm here. Oh, shoot. Does it? Now, wait a minute. That's supposed to fit in there.
I don't know. I don't know why it doesn't fit.
The black sheep of the family.
I don't fit. Uh-oh, it doesn't fit. See? I fit in it.
Susie's devalued my puzzle because we paid $3 for it this morning. So you know what? Until you really value and buy something of value, it's not going to fit right. Did you hear me?
That's good.
Time.
All right, is it together?
Yep, I hit the last one.
Whoa. What are we missing? Who's got the W? No, I had an M. She said it was W. She lied to me. She's not prophetic. She called me a W and I was an M. Where's the W? Well, get your butt up here. See? See these people? That? Yeah, he preaches last Sunday. Now he won't get in. He won't engage. We got to blow smoke up his tracks to get him to come do something. Yeah. Let's go back to verse 4. Diana, put up Romans 12:4 again. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We're like a puzzle. The body of Christ is like a puzzle. Did you notice that Diana didn't fit very well? We had to rub up on her a little bit there and elbow her to get her to fit. How many get elbowed in church a little bit? How many will wrestle through the reason you don't fit? Yeah, the other ones were out of order, therefore she couldn't fit. So when do you get mad and just dump the puzzle upside down? I mean, listen, some of this is going on in this house. Yes, yeah, but nobody wants to be shaved off. Nobody really wants to be molded into his image, because the bottom line is it, yeah, it hurts. Listen, until the pain to change becomes greater than the pain to stay the same, you won't. But the bottom line is, when you isolate yourself like Tad did there and you keep your little W to yourself, that you have nobody else putting pressure on you to change. And then you become an island to yourself. And then you think you're more valuable because you're the last piece that doesn't fit, so you're going to hold on to it. Dang it, don't do that again. So why did God tell me to get a children's game? I'm going to tell you, some of you were struggling with this children's game. Because you're too much of adults and don't know how to fit, because it's about you. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. If Dad hadn't presented W, this thing wouldn't be finished. Many times we sit in church and we say, I don't fit. I don't feel like I'm a part. Well, you're not doing your part. You got to show up, W. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It was reasonable for me to expect W to show up. There's times I ask you to show up and you don't want to show up, and you think I'm trying to be controlling or manipulative, or the body needs you. And let me tell you something. You ain't serving me. You're serving God. Until we figure that out, we're never going to fit right. Because then you're building your kingdom and not his kingdom. Then we're not part of the whole piece, the whole puzzle. That's good preaching. I ought to do this more often to myself. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, you better get your mind right that W can't survive by himself. Because he's just a W. He's not even part of the picture until he shows up. Because God's looking for the puzzle, the pieces to put the puzzle together. Here, how many have a little competitive edge? Am I the only one with a competitive edge? First of all, I don't like to lose. I like to win. All right? So let me say, this is a little competitive here. But the transforming by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good. There's a little, listen, it's time to be a little competitive with our Christianity. It's time to prove that you know you're valuable and that the W is needed and you're going to do your part because God made you valuable. And I'm going to tell you, and it's time to prove that you know you're valuable. Not with pride and not with arrogance. You may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than the whole puzzle? 90% of the relationship issue is somebody thinks I'm at the catbird seat and you're supposed to serve me. And Jesus said the greatest will become the servant of all. So if you're in leadership, come on, let me see if you're leading. Whose kingdom you building? Let me say that again. To think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What do you mean by that? See, when you start thinking more highly than you should, you don't know the true value of what Jesus did for you. Therefore, your value is already skewed. Listen, Susie actually handed me the M and called it a W. She said, oh, that's a W. I'm like, all right, put it in my pocket. I'm sitting there going, that ain't no W. And we didn't even plan that, and W sat on his butt. So could I turn my M upside down and become a W? I could try to be a W, but if the W doesn't show up, the M will turn upside down and then complain about being something he's not. Well, you know, I just do all this. Who asked you to? Well, I do this and I do that. Really? Didn't God tell you to? Oh. Okay, you can't carry two waiting for the other one to show up, because then when the other one shows up, you go, I'm in control. I'll only let you have this if you serve me. Who said that? Oh. Thank you, Mom. Dude, how did you like that word that I gave Dee? Let me tell you how prophetic this is, guys. I've known her for years. I've known her name for years. Without a doubt, the last 3 weeks I'd go to, I couldn't remember her name from Adam's house cat. And then I think, I don't know, were you here Saturday work day? Okay, so then it was the week before that. I went to talk, I needed to say something to her. And my brain went, I'm thinking, I got Alzheimer's disease or something. I got a good memory. And I needed to get her attention. Oh, he works at memory care. Okay. All right. Now, the W shows up when he has a commission involved. Hey, that's funny. Self-serving W over here. Thank you for that point there, W. But when I tried in my brain, I tried to call her, and I called her Mom. I couldn't remember her name. And I meant, it bugged me. And then this morning in worship, he said, her name is Dee. Now that you know who she is, tell her how she functions. I'm telling you, some of your lack of memory might be God trying to get you to get a new perspective on the member of the body. See, God may be blinding you to your opinion so he can give you his opinion on somebody. That's a good word right there. You look at me, start going, Pastor, I'm like, I'm amazing. Let's get the real picture here. But seriously, God's doing something really, really sweet here. You guys got Brian Higby coming next weekend. He's one of my dearest, bestest friends I've got. I trust him. He's part of the bench of three. In other words, he has the authority to where if I turn into a nut job and the local board picks up the phone and calls a bench of three and go, he's lost his mind, he's not being biblical, and they have the legal right in writing to pull me, set me down, and take all the assets if need be. I'm not a loose cannon. But let me tell you something, because I have authority structures, I will push the limits and find out what God's doing. And I'm not afraid to be what the M that I am. I'm not afraid of I am whom I am. But he's coming. Listen, and I don't believe it's a coincidence. I know it's not a coincidence that I'm not here this weekend. Because he can be crazy if he needs to. He can be, listen, our deal is this. You do and say anything you want. You can tell the good, the bad, and the ugly about me. You can blow smoke up my dress of where I'm good. You can also expose where I'm weak. Because the body has to pick up each other's weaknesses too. See, we can go, oh yeah, brother, he's so good at this. And I'm good at that. And we'll be going really good. Well, maybe he's weak at something and I need to bring my good to it. Oh, so we look at the success because if he's good and I'm good, we're both good. But what about if I'm supposed to cover his weakness? Oh, no, there's that living sacrifice stuff we don't want to do. I put something on Facebook last night because that's where I hear things. Actually, I was in the shower and I made Susie write it down. Many of us will not operate in the ministry of reconciliation because we've had conversations of justifications. You know, so-and-so offended me, and so I'm going to have conversations to justify why I feel the way I feel about this person instead of actually asking God, how do I rectify this? And many times, because you've had conversations to justify you're offended or W didn't show up and you start putting this whole justification on why W didn't show up, then all of a sudden the anointing comes for me to go reconcile, and I won't go reconcile because I've justified my attitude. You understand when the Holy Ghost shows up, your opinion needs to go away. And I really believe prophetically, Dee, that was just, I believe more, she needed it. What was the devil telling you? Today she was leaving this church. That's what the devil was telling her. So the day God says you're so valuable, you can't. By the way, you can't. You're not allowed. Mom, you're not going to abandon your kids, are you? No, but do you see the critical where we're at as a body? Listen, this is not a coincidence that God started this 3 weeks ago with me not being able to figure out her name. And I know her name. So he's given us a public picture of how value each one of us are. The devil's trying to take her out. Yes. And God has to be prophetic to say she's valuable. Let me tell you something. She knows she's valuable. The problem is, does this body know she's valuable? I'm telling you, when we'll actually value and honor and not think ourselves more highly, and we actually honor those around us, the devil will not have a stronghold or have an opinion to take us out. I'm telling you, I need you. You need me. We need each other if we're ever going to survive this. Amen. I'm telling you, the glory of God is heaven has mandated for the glory, miracles, salvations to rest out of this house and touch the culture of this. But listen, if we can't get along and value each other, cancel Christmas. If all the ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have a good Christmas. But we don't. I'm telling you, I've been challenged in the last few weeks. I've been challenged as a leader. I've been challenged as a spiritual father. I've been challenged as the senior leader here. Listen, I'm going to tell you what God told me last Sunday night. If you don't bring discipline, the spirit of Absalom is going to drop in this house and destroy it. Let me tell you, Absalom, I was going to actually preach all that, but I'd probably stayed on it too long anyway. Absalom, the son of David, what made him think that David, the greatest warrior, the man who was so bloody he couldn't build the temple, would sit back and let somebody take his kingdom? What was the weakness? Okay, there was rebellion, there was pride. But listen, you would have to be an idiot to pick a fight with David. He saw a weakness in his father. The weakness that he saw in his father was that one of his other brothers, I don't remember, Ammon raped Tamar, and he did not discipline him. And Absalom saw that his father was a great warrior, but he would not bring discipline to another son that was in error. And so Absalom thought his father wouldn't discipline him. And that comes in with rebellion, thinking that you can take out your dad. I'm here to tell you, nobody in this church called me to this church. God did. I'm not being arrogant about it. You can't have my seat. You can't have my responsibility. But I'm here to serve you, to figure out how you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be. But you can't have my seat. You'd be an idiot to want to walk in my shoes. And I will love you and I will care for you. But listen, some of this frigging and fracking and all this stuff has got to go away. It's got to stop. And part of it is pride and arrogance that we don't value each other. I'm telling you, there ain't no Absalom spirit. There ain't no Jezebel spirit that's going to take us out. I won't allow it. Listen, I am not afraid to fight. And the first thing I'm going to do is love the hell out of you and figure out why what your problem is. But if you won't let me love you, then you won't let the oil of God come in to find out where you fit. That's a good message. I told Susie, goes last night, what are you preaching? I don't know. I got it in me. God told me to stand up, it'd come out. We were across the street to the neighbors, and we figured out, well, we just need about our church is just a bunch of little brat kids. Well, let's just go get a little children's toy and figure this thing out. He says, come as a little child. Listen, the kingdom will be revealed when you come as a child. A child needs each other. A child needs parents. A child needs discipline. When you're willing to come into that, the revelation of the kingdom comes in, which your identity comes with it. Most of our bad behavior is we don't know who we are. I'm trying to be a W when I'm called to be an M. And W won't show up. Listen, if W had been there first, I'd have known I was an M. That's your fault, you know, that victim thing. That's your fault. I wouldn't have behaved that way if you had showed up. I put this on Facebook, too. You know, if you really want to see the anointing I'm flowing in, just look at Facebook. When you are empowered from the position of a victim, your advocate is the devil and not Jesus. When your empowerment comes from the position of being a victim, your advocate is the devil and not Jesus. That's good preaching right here. Man, we can go home. Susie's like, we won't. Wow. Wow. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. You will not be fulfilled by yourself. How many were here Thursday night and heard me preach on what a false prophet is? Listen, a false prophet has accurate words many times, but he's not connected properly to the body. Bottom line. So in other words, I don't really care about your accuracy. I want to know how you fit. Because if you don't fit, you won't have fruit. And I'm supposed to judge your fruit. Yeah. Not your fruitiness. What are you producing? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Huh. Not grace given to you, given to us. There's a grace given to us. There's a grace on this house. Let me tell you something. You know what this house is? We're a weird house. We ain't normal. And I want to be normal. But let me tell you something. Some of the issues of this house is we have a lot of leaders. You know what the problem with leaders? They don't follow well. We struggle with following because, listen, you know, my opinions start having opinions, I'm in trouble. I'm serious. I was talking about, listen, guys, your senior leader has had a reputation of being a man of rebellion. When Jesus walked to the wall in 1993, he introduced himself as a king, not a savior. I knew him as a savior at 5, but at 33, he showed up as a king, and he said this to me, "You put your hand in my hand, I'll never leave you or forsake you," or, he pointed, "I'll let hell have its way with you." He has the life, death, hell, and the grave in his hands. Some of you met sweet baby Jesus. I met the Lion of Judah, and he threatened to kill me. Serve me or die. Not die and go to hell. Die and go to heaven because you're no longer earthly good. Okay, so listen to me, guys. So you know, me and Susie are in the middle of a divorce. I can't believe she didn't love me, you know, but she was divorcing me. Why? Because my mother told me that I wasn't worthy to be a husband, wasn't worthy to be a father, that I was addicted to pornography, I was into things. And my mom says, "Today I'm no longer praying blessings. I told God to either save you, to see you in heaven, and gave him permission to kill you if necessary." Don't start that, Mom. I already had one of like that. I don't need another one. I've repented. When my oldest son was on drugs and starting to disrupt my household, guess who told him to leave? Susie did. There's something about a mama who said, I've given you enough grace and I'm not tolerating your behavior anymore. And so when my son did crash and everybody thought he was going to die, he says to his friends on a drug over, "Get me to my daddy, he'll know what to do." His mother kicked him out. He came to his daddy because I made a stance. We start dissecting what happened. He said, "I knew I was in trouble when the one who always protected me was done with me." She turned him over to God. And God turned him back to me. And he's not hooked on crack anymore. He's very successful, doing great. But listen, this is family. This is family. And some of our attitudes have got to stop. Some of our isms have got to go. And it's going to come with, listen, we all have different gifting. Listen, I cannot eat the fruit of his gifting unless I honor the gift. I can't have what I don't honor. And he's not going to open up and talk to me unless I honor it. Unless he feels safe. Forced intimacy is still rape. Let me go back to the Bible because my opinion is starting to get involved. No, I'm not. We're going to deal with a rebellion. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. That's an Old Testament scripture. But the day comes when God wants to bring change to the body of Christ. He wants to bring from church to kingdom. There is a rebellion against the system, not against people. Yes. So Jesus walks through the wall. He deals with me, tells me he loves me, and changes everything in my life in 1993. He tells me he's going to use me to change the church. I'm like, church? I don't want to go to church. He says, I've made you a leader. You made me a leader of something I don't like? You made me a leader of somebody I don't trust? You're going to make me go back to the church? Yeah. He goes, you can't. He said, first of all, by the way, that's my bride. Don't talk about her. Some of your comments and opinion, you're putting the dirt on the bride instead of blessing it and praying and interceding. Stop it. He says, son, you can't change the church being on the outside shooting at it. You got to be on the inside being willing to die with it. Okay, God. I will. 2 days later. Now, you got to realize we're in the middle of Susie's wanting a divorce. She wants my money, so I have to sell a house. So I'm trying to sell a house. I walk by the house. I go into this house. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with demonic oppression. The devil's going after me. God's telling me how good I am and how much he loves me. I'm in this battle. And this principality, this a principality level demon shows up and starts throwing me around the room. Physically throwing me around the room. I'm a 5-day love Jesus Christian at this point. I know enough from Sunday school that you scream the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and if necessary, run like hell. This big demon shows up in the most beautiful manner I've ever seen. And it's my eyes are open, prophetic eyes are open. And I'm like, oh man, this is the most gorgeous angel there is. But something was wrong on the inside of me. I discerned something was there. And I said, Jesus send you? And when I said Jesus, this thing morphed into a real demon and got physical with me. Threw me around the room, tried to kill me. I screamed. And this thing kept getting my mind and tormenting me. And I remember a childhood Bible story where Jesus cast the demons into the pigs and the pigs ran and jumped into the water. So I jumped in my pool. I'd hold my breath under the water. My mind would get clear and I'd come up, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. And then, you know, well, you know, when the cops show up, you're crazy. Long and short of it, I'm on strapped to a gurney in the hospital, losing my mind. Met Jesus 3 days ago, losing my mind. You know what? Some of you will never renew your mind until you lose your mind. It says renewing of the mind. Most of you need to have a lose your mind to get the mind of Christ. I'm sitting here in bed, tagged to a gurney. They bring Susie by. Now, you got to realize we're in the middle of a divorce. They're asking her what her opinion of me is. I'm like, this is not good. This is really not good. She had enough fortitude. What did you say? I don't remember. It's normal. I still do that. But here's the bottom line. My father stood at the end of a bed. He said, son, I need you to sign these papers. I want you to sign these papers and it will voluntarily Baker Act you. And for 3 days, they're going to evaluate you to see if you're going to harm yourself. I said, Dad, it was just a demon. I won. I used the name of God. I used the name of Jesus, the power of his name. I proclaimed his precious blood. I won. I got it. Dad goes, I believe what you're saying, son, but I need you to do this. And all of a sudden, I was forced to come to a decision. Who's the authority in the room, me or him? Who's in charge, my dad or me? You know, my little pea brain goes, I am, and I'm strapped to a gurney. And that same voice that had walked in the room 3 or 4 days later said this to me as my life flashed before me in vision form. He said, for once in your life, do what your authority has told you to do with the right attitude. And I saw my whole life, since I got sexually abused at 7 at Knife Point, no one told me what to do. You could, listen, I would sit down if it's only beneficial. And if I could whoop you, I'd try you. Nobody told me what to do. Why? Because I was never going to position myself to be harmed again. Nobody's going to abuse me again. And I became aggressive. I can remember my dad going, you're on restriction for 2 weeks. Listen, I'm not the smartest kid in the world. I hate restriction. Don't make me stay home. So I figured if I can really make him mad, he'll get mad, he'll beat me, feel bad, and I'll be off restriction. He goes, you take 1 foot out of this yard, and you're the... I walked out, he's looking through the kitchen window, and I looked at him and went... He hits the door. We take off running. He gets mad, he beats me, you know, and then feels guilty. I won. Is that the worst form of control you've ever heard in your life? Some of you do that all the time. Some of you will try to trigger authority to lose it so you can justify your behavior. Listen to me. Well, you know, that church, the authority, he rejected me. No, I'm rejecting your behavior. It's not acceptable. Right? When I said, Dad, I disagree with you, but I will do what you told me to do to the best of my ability with the right attitude. And when I said right attitude, the Holy Spirit pulled rebellion out of my heart. It felt like an octopus with tentacles. I felt my toes go, everything came out of me, and rebellion left me. Rebellion left me. Here's the problem. It's been tested for 25 years. Pastor Larry Meek sat with my dad 15 years ago. He said, what was it like raising a boy that challenged everything you said as a leader? You know what my dad said? I didn't raise a boy like that. He said, he was the life of the party. He didn't care. He just wanted to be loved and liked. He didn't do that. But the night Jesus confronted him of his sin, he's been confronting leaders ever since. For once, my father stood up for me. God had put a backbone in me. He had to take rebellion out, or the backbone becomes manipulative and control. This is not a dictatorship, but it is a kingdom. And I'm telling you, if you don't figure out that you've been abused and wounded and that you need to be healed, you will never know how to submit to spiritual authority. I told the story Thursday night. I love telling the story that when I prophesied all that stuff in New York and the pastor, and they wrote a letter that I was a false prophet, and I got mad and I knew it was God. I said, meet me at the town square on June the 10th at noon, and we'll pray a prayer and let God kill the one that's wrong. That's real funny. Everything happened and it was prophecy. It was good. But what I don't tell people, because I want to protect myself, I just want to look good, is I got home and Larry Meeks and Reggie Parker sat me down. You can't travel. You can't preach. You sit and you be part of a body and you learn how to get healed and love people. I didn't travel for almost 8 months. I had airplane tickets bought. I had meetings scheduled. You know, I was the next Benny Hinn at that point. And they sat me down. They sat me down. And I had to learn to be part of a body and realize they loved me, not for what I did, but for who I was. And it started the healing. And the Lord said to me, he says, have you ever had that behavior again publicly? I said, no. He said, there you go. You better deal with your rebellion. You got to deal with your wounds from past authorities. Listen, they're there. They're there. This week, I was telling some of these stories, and I didn't realize this until this week. My dad asked me to take responsibility and sell his house, take responsibility, get all the stuff out of his house. He's 92 years old, and it's hard and it's difficult, and he has attitude because he's a Coker. And I stood at the foot of his bed. I said, "Daddy, did you give me responsibility and authority to do this?" He goes, "Yes." And I said, "I need you to leave it alone and let me do it." And he said, "Son, I'll try to obey you to the best of my ability with the right attitude." When a 92-year-old recognizes he has to submit to authority, and at one time he was the authority, God's in the house. When we understand that this kingdom is about relationship one to another and relationship with what God's doing, I'm telling you, the glory of God will come and do all the advertisement you want. The glory of God will come and do all the healing. We won't need healing gifts. The gifts will be healing. It'll show up. The people will show up. But I'm telling you, how did you realize as a bunch of adults, we struggle putting a stupid thing together? And that W over there just irritates me. And listen, we didn't plan that because Susie said I was the W. What piece of the puzzle are you? What piece of the puzzle are you? D, we need you. We value you. We're never going to see the fullness of the kingdom until we find our proper identity individually and corporately. I think a lot of us are doing pretty good individually. That's growing. Some of us are changing. Some of us are figuring it out. But I'm telling you, corporately, I believe God's going to breathe on this thing. And we're not going to have to wait to the day that she's leaving for the prophetic to come. That's just a little stinking close as far as I'm concerned. And I'll take the heat for that. What? He didn't block any of her name to anybody else, did he? No, he blocked it to me. So if he's doing it to the head, he's doing it for the rest of the body. We don't know each other, and we don't honor each other like we should. And this display is a public repentance. God prophesies to Billy. She confirms everything. This is us. It's not her. It's us. She's part of us. Her promotion is our promotion. Rodney Madison's family, her mom died yesterday. We're hurting. But at the same time, he went up to visit his mom, had 4 or 5 hours with her. She fell. She hit her head. There was a situation that actually brought her to a point of death. And it was a relief because she was suffering. But he got to spend time with her. I thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. But his family's hurting. Joel and Pam Wetchner, you know her? You know them that were here, preached? They're my brothers and sisters in New York. They're his son, Zachary. I've taken the intercession, gone to the courts over this kid and drugs for years. Overdosed day before yesterday. Yes, that's Pam and Joel. Part of us. Part of the Jack Taylor family. We're connected to each other because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And I think when John the Baptist came in, he was the greatest of all prophets of the old. And he was closing out one season into the new season. Why do you think, listen, John the Baptist was the forerunner to present Jesus Christ. I don't believe John the Baptist should have picked a fight with a political leader. But, you know, God lets people become rebellious so they can tell you their story later. If he's the last of the Old Testament prophets, and we are greater, the least in the kingdom is greater than him, really? The only thing that most of us resemble John the Baptist is he did no miracles. That's not New Testament. The Lord said to me one day, he says, there's a season shift, there's a change. in the same season as John the Baptist, the Church of America is in the same. He says, and I'm coming with a sword, just like I did then. I'm going to cut his head. When I cut his head off, it was a transition from the old to the new. And I wanted Christ to be the head of the church, so I had his head cut off. Some of you need to get your head cut off so you can get the right mind. And know where you fit and how you fit and start loving each other and honoring each other and getting along. If you think you're high and mighty, go ahead and stick your head up when that sword comes. Be like, that looks like a bowling ball. but it's time. It's time. Now, I got just a few more minutes. Luke chapter 4. I believe this is the season we're in. Luke chapter 4. I'm actually going to go to my Bible. Sorry, Diana. We're just winging it today, baby. Luke chapter 4. Verse 16. And so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened it, he found the place. Say, found the place. Where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover sight to the blind, to set the liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. As his custom was. So here's Jesus. This is one of my early, I'm actually trying to put this, and I'm going to preach on Jesus being the man of rebellion. So I just messed all your stuff up about rebellion, didn't I? Because see, you think all rebellion is demonic, and it's not. Some of it is, because the fruit of it is lawlessness and brokenness. But when Jesus, as his custom was handed the scroll, what he should have done is they hand the scroll where it was left off the week before. You read where it was left off, and it says he found the place. So he broke protocol. And he went to Isaiah and says, by the way, I'm taking time out of your hands and I'm putting it in my hands. The Father said, I'm going to move time back or up or wherever, because today is the day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he released the kingdom. As soon as he broke protocol, he was in rebellion to the system of the day. Jesus broke protocol. And the anointing always comes when there's an assignment. Some of you are anointed, but because you haven't figured out your assignment, you're nothing but a troublemaker. Some people fill in their own time slot. The anointing comes to do something. So if the anointing has come and you hadn't figured out who you are and what you're supposed to do, you're a troublemaker. Come on. So Jesus, the anointing comes. Jesus says, today this is fulfilled in your ears. Let me show you the demonstration. The anointing comes. Everybody said, who is this man? Isn't this Joseph, Joseph his son? And starts poo-pooing his divinity when it was actually trying to be revealed who he really was. The anointing comes to reveal his divinity and that he's supposed to heal the brokenhearted, recover sight to the blind, and set the prisoners, actually one version is set the prisoner and the captive. Let me tell you something, that's both of you. If you deserve to be in prison because you're an idiot, he's setting you free. If you're a captive because somebody else was an idiot and you were damaged, you're free too. So quit being a victim, get free. He sets both the one who did the crime and the one who was crimed against. Crimed against. Does that work? Yeah. Crimed against. You know, you've been crimed. Haven't you been crimed against? I've been crimed against. But it's time to set them free. Amen. So I'm reading this one day and Jesus speaks to me. He says, son, you're a lot like me. Why? You kind of like rebellion. He says, son, if you'll follow my process, And let me teach you, the day will come where I can release rebellion upon your life that will release the kingdom. But the problem is you won't die in love. If you're functioning in rebellion, rebellion will always murder you. And the Bible says you should already be dead. So if you are not mature enough, if you're so wounded that someone bumps up against you, if the M and the W and all, listen, we couldn't even get our pieces together, and he bumped me. And you ever been on vacation with your kids? He's touching me. Stop touching me. I got kids. I'm like, shut up. Give a little. We're on vacation, Dad, darn you. We get mad because someone got bumped. No, you got mad because you're wounded. And you don't know who you are. That's good. But the day comes where we come to a place of maturity. And the Lord says, I'm bringing change. I'm going to reveal some things. I'm going to start releasing power. Listen, power always comes for a purpose. But if you're wounded, you'll misuse the power. I think part of the prophecy with Billy, she's down in the basement making sure that the power is connected properly, the communication is proper, but and the ones in the ivory tower are eating the benefit, but that's still the kingdom. Her value didn't go down, it went up. Some of you, because you're not seen and you're not getting your smoke drug blowed up your dress, you think God's disqualifying you. No, he's actually trying to promote you. Time to be mature enough where we can rebel against cancer. We can rebel against sickness and disease. We can rebel against prostitution. We can rebel against hate crimes. We can rebel against racism. Really? Most of us carry it so much you can't rebel against it because it's part of your nature. James says it this way, submit one to another. Confess any of your sins, faults, and weaknesses so you can be healed. This is healed. This is healed. And this is where we're going.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net. where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.